another code name that the CIA used was Ops Release Corps. This is where specialized black op teams were sent out to other countries, usually by the CIA, when their in-place operatives were having some serious trouble and needed backup or straightening out or whatever. There's a company or organization that I've yet to find any verification on. Maybe they're that hidden. The initials for this company were AOR, or in Italy it was AORI. It's actually the people that were clients of this company were not told that it was actually standing for Austrian Order of the Reich, an absolute Nazi organization. It was run by a man, whether this is the SRI Stanford man or not. I knew this man as Paul Devereaux. He had two other aliases known as Paul Dubois and Paul Dupesch. One of their facilities was in France. It was on a close to a shoreline, but I honestly don't know exactly where. He told me, whether this is true or not, that the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the Ford Foundation were helping to fund this business. What they were doing there was bringing government leaders from different countries and people in high positions from different countries to their facilities, where they were taught to increase the theta brainwaves, basically, to do the same things that were already being taught, you know, in the Pentagon, in the CIA, and several other stateside organizations. And at the same time, they were trying to recruit these leaders to be part of a new world government under their jurisdiction, which I assume was pretty Nazi-oriented. One thing I ran across a lot was called shell programming. This is something that was one of my dad's very twisted specialties. It was at a warehouse either at or near Georgia Tech University in Atlanta. Children were sent from different parts of the country there for Dad to program them. Well, actually split their personalities, and what he would do is have the kids get into these huge, I suppose they were papier-mâché white shells, upright, and then Dad or one of his assistants would pour large quantities of certain types of special-ordered bugs into the shells, and of course, if you can only imagine what that'll do to a child's mind. He had a few problems where kids went into catatonic state. To him, that was a problem. To me, the entire thing was. There was another operation I ran across at least once where they discussed, and it was called Operation Blowfish. Now, I understand that it is possible that one or two of these names I picked up from some book I read, but the majority of them I absolutely did not, because they were recurring in my memories. They called me Plain Jane a lot when they would have me do bodyguarding for politicians. I did work side-by-side with Secret Service operatives. Well, I call them operatives sometimes. I think, again, they used me in these situations because I was not an employee. I was not easily identifiable that way. They especially would use us to work crowds, and because of the theta conditioning and abilities that they had honed in us, and a lot of Secret Service people have these abilities as well, they can actually pick up on hostile thoughts of a person in a crowd, like where the president is, and they can actually approach that person and disable them or take them out physically before they can even do anything. It is just wonderful how this works. Usually they would have me dressed in a plain brown jacket and skirt at that time. Another code name that they used extensively with me was Naomi, which I later learned was MK Naomi. It was where I was used to do biochemical assassinations, and it's pretty heartbreaking stuff, what I've remembered. There was one cult of young people that I had to put some kind of substance in lemonade in the refrigerator. I believe this was in another country, and I'm assuming they did not live. Sometimes they would have me put a pin, like a straight pin or a needle, sticking out of a corner of the bottom of my purse and have it laced with a substance that they had in a small jar of Vaseline, which I have stopped using completely, but it took a while. I would actually use Vaseline. I was so conditioned I would not use lipstick. I would use Vaseline on my lips. And what they would do is have me dip that pin in the substance in the Vaseline and then walk by the targeted individual and simply scratch them through their clothes. And I saw in a movie a couple of years later where somebody actually did this in the movie, and it was supposed to be about, you know, covert operations. And I came very close to fainting when I saw that because I realized, oh my God, this is real. They had another code name that they used for people like me because I don't like the word basically, that's a George Bush code. What they did with me was, my family, okay, they pretty much gave me to the White House, and then I was exposed to other things from there in my childhood. I knew the White House is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I have run across other MKX operatives who also knew it as that. A lot of times they would call it, D.C., they would call it either the Hub or they would call it Emerald City, and the president would be known to me as Oz. That's, or God, they like to use either one of those a lot of times. So one of the things they conditioned me was to see myself as a homing pigeon, and that no matter where I go, I will go back to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, which I was made to believe was my home, and I had some extreme loyalties, and unfortunately still do, to the residents there even now. Need I say more? Chameleon is a code name that they used for MK operatives who were taught partly through dissociative lifelong adaptation. I mean, that's just a thing that you learn. Whatever situation you're in, if you have an amnesic barrier and you come to and you're in a strange situation, you learn real quick to adapt so that you don't get hurt. So I already had some of that conditioning just through a lot of what I experienced, but they specialized it even more and taught me how to dress and walk and talk and act like anyone that was around me, because that made it harder for others to notice me or identify me later on as sticking out and being, you know, odd in the crowd or whatever.
What you've gone through is like just incredibly sophisticated uses of,
oh, absolutely,
of this.
And I have to say, and I've talked to other survivors about this, and they absolutely agree, these people are incredibly intelligent. I know some of them will like hearing that, and it's true. I wish they would use their intelligence for healing instead of for hurting. That's all. Another word, code word that they used for me, and I noticed, I believe it was Kathy O'Brien or Bryce Taylor who also was called this, is fail-safe. And what that was supposed to mean, although it didn't work real well, was obviously, I think it's wonderful, was that the programming they put in us and therefore the memories that we had of certain individuals and stuff could never, ever come out or be accessed. Obviously, it didn't work. Now, I'm going to touch on one little thing that I have gotten some verifications on, but they get me in the most trouble, and I don't want to keep any secrets tonight because that'll make it even more hazardous for me later on. For at least a decade, the CIA and KGB have been working together in a lot of operations, and most of the training for these cross most of the cross training was done in a place called Minsk, Russia. if I hear a person talking Russian, I automatically space out. And I'm supposed to have a part that speaks in Russian, although I am not about to let that happen. I think it would terrify me. But one of the code names that they would use or hand me a candy bar was dark chocolate. And I later found out that chocolate is a way of blocking memory as well. But some of the code names for outer states that they used there was Sasha, Mink, Ermine, Sable, and Luna, or La Luna was another one. So they had some real simple number codes that they also used with that. 3, 2, and 1, positive 3, 2, and 1 had to do with CIA activities. Then 0 would mean, I could see this on an envelope sent to me, and I would know what it meant by code without even having to think. It would automatically kick something in my head. 0 meant that I was at home, doing my regular job, regular activities. In other words, I was not active. -1, 2, and 3 had to do with KGB activities. Now, what I thought about that was, it's like they work behind each other's backs a lot, too. I guess it's just one of those deals, you know, they were stabbing each other in the backs while they were working with each other as well. Oh, gosh. That's the main ones.
These code names are either operations or experimental projects or projects,
right,
or
right.
Actual types of programming done on you.
Like I said, the main ones, Alpha, Beta, Delta, Theta, Omicron.
Right.
Naomi was a specialized program that they put in me specifically to do the biochem ops, which, by the way, came out of mostly... There was a place underground at a military facility that I knew as the Birdcage. It's where they kept a lot of these chemicals. I have remembered as Naomi, and I actually called myself Naomi at those times. I would report to a place called Redstone Arsenal, which was in Alabama, not far at all from where I lived in Atlanta. the way that information came up, I was going to a seminary, and it was, I believe it was in 92, in near Atlanta, Baptist Seminary. And one pastor who was taking class there with us started talking about Ruth and Naomi to me and how I should, you know, from the Old Testament, and how the past is gone, I shouldn't think about it anymore. I don't know if he did that deliberately or unintentionally, but when he used the word Naomi, I had to literally leave the room and go in the bathroom, and I spent the next half hour hysterically crying. I had no idea why, and unfortunately, in the way the heating system was set up, I didn't know they heard the entire thing. I quit school shortly after that. But after I had the serious crying, Jack, that's when the memories came up, and then when I was presented by Mark Phillips the CIA database, then I found the code name MK Naomi in there, and it verified directly what I had been remembering. Awful stuff.
Incredible. So. What's your sense of how many years you were doing operations for the government?
Doing operations? Well, okay, for the government, and I have to say for people too, because sometimes it was people who were in high positions in the government, and it's kind of hard to separate it out.
Mm.
I would say, give me a second here. 20 years.
And at what age do you feel that the conditioning had started from with your father?
Oh, man. It started like when I was about 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
And there were special facilities that they took me to where other children were taken to. There's one place that I've had numerous memories of, and they always had me think it was, they called it the school, but the employees would call it the fortress between themselves, and it was a red brick, I believe, red brick, school size, like elementary school size building. I believe it was one story, and right below the roof it had a wide horizontal band of mustard colored paint. It looked really odd, and that's why that stuck out for me. But in that building they did some surgery on my head. I don't understand it all. I'm assuming it did something to my brain, because I had a real problem thinking and moving well for a while after that. And they had the children split up into groups there. They had one room that they called Romper Room, where they did some odd Mr. Doobie programming, I guess because we were watching that at that time. But they had like Unit A, B, A. In each unit, children were alternated into op-type conditioning and training. We were even taught, we couldn't even leave, and our parents couldn't even come get us until the teddy bears they gave each of us, we disemboweled and cut the heads off. So even that far back, we were getting trained. I've been to a number of other facilities as a child and as a young adolescent where other things... Oh, yeah, I need to mention this. One person I would like to get more information about, just for my own verification, is a man who, he was rather slim, erect, probably, 6 feet, possibly a little shorter. And I knew him by his Americanized name and his German name. Americanized, he was known as Dr. Black. German, he was known as Dr. Schwartz. He was a major figure in my childhood. I have remembered that he also had out my mother, who is definitely a moldable, and I am not having communication with her at all. He had kind of curly black hair, dark eyes. He spoke fluent German, and my dad seemed to be pretty close to him. Dr. Schwartz seemed to be very much into the Aryan belief systems as well. One of the things that I remembered about him was there was an actual black train car that was his office. I don't know if he traveled in that or what, or if it was used to, you know, make us feel crazy when we met him there, but he actually set it up inside as an office. And what he seemed to be most interested in was my aggression. Now, I've heard of Dr. Green, and I don't yet have any memory of anyone like him, but Dr. Schwartz I have big-time memories about. And I am assuming at this point that he was more interested in children that were going to be used in black operations when they were adults. There was one young blonde boy who was taken by his blonde-haired mother to see him, I think it was, yeah, right before me one time, I believe it was, and that boy was extremely homicidal and setting fires and such, and he spent a lot of time alone with Dr. Schwartz one-on-one as well in that train. There was a mental hospital very close by. I would say probably from the track, I would say it was probably no more than half a mile. And from what I understood, he also worked over there quite a bit. But I guess they didn't want us to remember the hospital, and I think that's why he used that railroad car.
What are the kinds of facilities were used to train children and adults for mind control? Were these government or military facilities?
One of the things they did with me, and I don't know if they did it with other children, there was a large building in Reading, Pennsylvania, or very, very close by, but I believe it was in the city. It was a multi-story building, and they had several rooms with large stages in it. And when my dad, I was only 8 years old, my dad would, he created a Dick Tracy, pardon me. Oh, good grief. He would have me take all my rage out on him and other people who would dress up in black robes as they did in the rituals when I was raped and everything else. He would have some men, I don't know if they were actual street bums or if they were dressed up as street bums, but he would tell me that they were bad men, and it's like all the rage at these people who deliberately dressed in the robes to trigger the rage, I would take it out on those men, and these people that were setting this whole thing up, they would actually guard the doorways so that these men could not leave. And sometimes I was given a gun, sometimes I was given a knife. Now, I still don't want to believe I actually killed these men at my age. That is hard for me to comprehend.
How old would you have been at the time?
It might have been fake blood, but there was definitely some kind of blood. When I was a younger teenager, we lived in Maryland for a year. I lived in Cockeysville, Maryland, and I went to Cockeysville. I think it was junior high, I believe it was junior high. What we would do is a number of us would be transported from the school. Like, we would be taken to the school, but then we would be transported from it in a bus and taken to one of two facilities where we got a lot of classroom training. One of those facilities was a bunch of trailers and pavilion-type buildings where people would actually sit down and teach us a lot of different things, including more chameleon training and such. About they taught us diplomacy, how to act around dignitaries and such, just real practical information on how to stay alive during ops, you know, like not getting involved emotionally with people, and a lot of other things. A lot of it's still blocked out because I just don't want to remember, to be honest. The other place that they would sometimes take us to was, like, I guess it was an abandoned shopping center, because it was at one time obviously a shopping center. Two-story, they had like a rail and a walkway all the way around upstairs with rooms that they had made in the classrooms, and we were taught things there too. And one of the things they would work on is our behaviors. They would lecture us and just give us hell sometimes if we were acting out in inappropriate ways at home. So they knew that a lot of us kids were going to be trouble if they didn't, you know, teach us how to conduct ourselves in social life. So that was a real interesting year there.
You've mentioned a number of times about the Nazi connections in particular with your family and the doctors that you were exposed to. Do you have a sense that the mind control technology came from the experiments done by Nazis, or was there any connection there?
I've talked with several investigators to try and understand this. From what I understand, the OSS and the military were both aware that they needed to get more informed about how to use such technology because other countries were beginning to experiment with it. And I think what kicked in during Operation Paperclip, and I think the other one was National Security or something like that, was when they found out that Dachau was a big place where a lot of this stuff was being done, and so were several other concentration camps, where they were doing actual psychological experiments on a lot of the prisoners. What they seemed to do was want to get some of these scientists who had been doing these specific experiments and finding out what they were able to accomplish, bringing them over to the States, cleaning up their records, and then having them work for our government and teach people in our government how to do this. From what I understand, that's where Dr. Green also got some of his training. What's kind of interesting about that is that Dr. Green had been working at Edgewood, from what I've read. An experiment was done on me at Edgewood, too, involving a chimpanzee named Sonny, which was further assassin programming there. Now, what I ran across a lot were Aryan groups that also knew how to use this kind of programming and would actually handle some of us at home. In other words, sometimes, like I was in a neighborhood where a number of these people lived in Atlanta, and they would call me at home, trigger me, or tell me to watch a certain TV show that would trigger me. One neighbor gave me some bizarre things that he supposedly made in his workshop that were serious triggers. I obviously trashed them after I took pictures of them. So there seems to be a definite Nazi connection here. NASA seemed to have been crawling with this stuff for quite a while, and when I read Linda Hunt's book, Secret Agenda, it was a big-time education for me on why, because a lot of these Nazi war criminals ended up being put in NASA, and they set up NASA. They literally set it up, including Wernher von Braun. From what I understand in Linda's book, his record was also cleaned up considerably, and still some of his former associates get real hacked when anyone mentions that he was a criminal. At the NASA facilities, they had some incredibly unusual programming that they did to some of us. I had one experience. I was probably 15, I don't know, somewhere in there. I was taking the Goddard, which was a NASA facility outside of D.C. One of the things they seem to like to do is dress like they're in Star Trek. That's an obvious scramble, they would actually wear Star Trek uniforms with the Enterprise logo or embroidered whatever on the uniforms. And sometimes they would actually hypnotize me to think it. Now, remember, this is the old Star Trek, okay? Like, it was Dr. Spock, Bones,
Captain Kirk
and such. So I could not remember what their faces really looked like. One of the things they did at Goddard was very, very professional, very ingenious. They hooked me up to some kind of a computer system, very high-tech for that period of time, where they had, like, earphones. Actually, it was more like a helmet on my head. I don't understand how all this worked, but it's like I closed my eyes and I could actually see images flashing in front of my face. And then they had a lot of sound effects, and they did what they called Father Time training at that facility at that time. Later on, I've been to Huntsville, I've been to Houston, I've been to Cape Canaveral, and Titusville, I think, was also a NASA facility. They did some nasty torture there. One of the things that they seemed to specialize in, these NASA people, was time folding and going back in time, at least in our minds. And also, it's just really experimental, pretty weird stuff. One of the things that they used, especially on a lot of us, was to make us read Madeleine L'Engle's L'Engle, books. There was a trilogy, the first one was Wrinkle in Time, and it was about this these children that were going from one dimension to another with these three older women, or whatever they were supposed to be, like angels or whatever, looking for their father. And they used a word in those books called tesseract, which was a folding between dimensions where you could travel from one dimension to another, or I don't think it was so much about time there as it was between dimensions. And they were very serious about this. They deal a lot with physics, not nuclear physics, there's another word for that, where they really are trying to find ways to explore other dimensions and such. And I don't know if they were using us to see if we could do it. I don't know what the deal was, but it seriously messed up my head. And it was really nice to get verifications from other survivors that, yes, they really did try to do this with some of them.
But how did NASA use mind control or mind control slaves?
Well, they seem to be more into programming. They seem to be more their forte, and I don't know that they were so much into using slaves for their own means. I was absolutely terrified the entire time I was at the facility because I recognized a lot of the buildings. I was sure that somebody was going to recognize me and do something to me, and I have no memory that anything bad happened, but I noticed, like, a lot of survivors, now, with people like me, they did not use mole markings because people, in other governments would have been able to catch that if we were caught, okay? But a lot of the beta slaves in particular, they called them beta slaves, had mole markings to show, like, what level, like presidential or another level. One thing I noticed at Huntsville, the actual city was people were so tranced out there, a lot of them, and they had moles all over the place. And I was like, oh, my God, what is going on here? I've been very negative also about the space camps because I'm sorry. You know, if they have no compunction about doing this for the CIA and whoever else to victims, what's to keep them from doing things to kids while they're there at space camp, okay? I noticed in one of the gift shops they had books on Klingon language. And, I mean, it's cute in a way, but I thought, wouldn't this be a wonderful way to use a program language that no one else would understand but a handler and a slave, you know? So there was a lot of things that I looked at there, and I was going, oh, this is bad. But my personal experience was more that they were programming me so that when others, including one, especially one president in particular, George Bush, he knew Father Time programming very well, and he tried to use it on me. The only problem was he didn't use it right, and it didn't work. I love it when they messed up because then I remembered better. But they, like I said, they were more into high-tech equipment. They later on used a lot of virtual reality equipment as well. Another thing that I need to mention, too, that was used a lot were driving simulators. A lot of times, you know, for screen memories in particular, they would put me in a room with a car that was like on a hydraulic lift or several hydraulic lifts to where it could move from side to side or feel like it was bumping or something, and they would, like, run a movie in front of me and have me in a hypnotic state or drugged to where the movie became real and I really thought the car was driving somewhere. Now, another thing that I have run across and I have been able to verify for another survivor in Dallas at a hospital there was that they also have a place near Dallas where they have an actual full-size UFO in a very large room that also has that same type of hydraulic system beneath it, and the survivor would be, a victim, would be taken into the UFO. They would see people that looked like aliens. Certain things would be done to them, and they would think that they had just been abducted by aliens in a UFO. So that's another thing. It's such a con job they're doing on some of these victims.
We have been listening to an interview with Kathleen Sullivan, a survivor of U.S. government mind control. Stay tuned next week as we bring the final part of that interview. And in 2 weeks' time, CKLN begins FunFest 97, 10 days where we give you the opportunity to support independent media here at CKLN. Listener-supported media is the only media that's going to bring you the truth. And so it's important that you help CKLN keep on the air for another year. We're going to have copies of this radio series on cassette and printed transcripts as gifts for pledging your support on this show on CKLN 88.1, bringing you the sound and the fury. And as well, CKLN is taking orders for cassettes, copies of the shows of this series, as well for printed transcripts. And you can call the CKLN office anytime during office hours. As well, I wanted to make mention that there is an anti-shock reference list and an anti-psychiatry statement by Don White's available for free down at the CKLN offices as well. Ask Joanne about that. Coming up next here on CKLN is Tejiendo Rebeldías. Stay tuned.
See that Rastaman him come from Zion.